Sophia, what is the reason annexed to the third commandment? The reason annexed to the third commandment is that however the breakers, yes, the breakers of this commandment may escape the judgment, the punishment from men. His righteous judgment. You almost got the whole second half word perfect. Yet the Lord our God will not suffer them to escape his righteous judgment. And that is especially tied to our Lord Jesus and his identity as the one in whom God has fully made himself known. And so he is unto us the name of God. Jesus is as much the name of God as Yahweh is, and in some ways more, because it is the name that he gives himself when he displays himself in the second person, which is one of the reasons why, in God's providence, the Jews did not rightly transliterate Yahweh in Greek when they were translating the Septuagint. The Lord superintends that with the purpose that when they, out of superstition, put Kurios for Yahweh throughout the Old Testament, yet this will help New Testament believers as they read their Old Testament and they refer to the Lord Jesus as Kurios, that they say, they see everywhere that the Lord says Yahweh in the Old Testament. He means the one whom we know most of all, most clearly, most fully, as Jesus. So that wherever we read Yahweh, or Lord in all capital letters, in your Old Testaments, the Holy Spirit has intentionally so written and taught us so that we might know that Jesus is the one who died for us and rose again and has ascended and is the delight of our souls to think about being with him one day, seeing him one day. He's the one who has done all these things in the Old Testament. It's also a good reminder that God does not have, as it were, a single inherent name, a set of syllables that is fully him. No, Jesus is fully him. He gives us various names. Yahweh has a special place among those names because he calls it my memorial name unto all generations. So that is how he wants them to remember him and call him. But when we blaspheme or treat lightly the names of God, we are treating lightly especially Jesus himself, who is the full revelation, full disclosure that God has made of himself unto us. And so the third commandment is very closely tied to what Jesus calls blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When people are calling Jesus Beelzebul, rather than recognizing by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the full revelation of God. And he says that any other sort of sin may be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not. Well, in the context, he's talking about how you cannot be forgiven without Christ as God in the flesh to save you. And so when the third commandment says, for Yahweh your God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, he's teaching the same thing as Jesus teaches when he talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so if someone says, you have one of these Lord's Day discussions with the sophomores, the wise fools, that's what sophomore means, at lunch at church, and someone's like, what do you think blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is? You just calmly say, well, I'm pretty sure Jesus had already said it in the third commandment like 1,500 years earlier, so it's not too mysterious. Or you can just say, I think it means the Lord our God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then you can go into describing how Jesus is, for all practical purposes, the name, all capital letters, of God unto us. He is God's disclosure to us. And you cannot have your sin forgiven if you think of Jesus in a light, creaturely manner rather than as God who came to save us. This is why the doctrine of the divinity of Christ is one that is necessary for salvation. Not because there's any theological abstraction that's necessary for salvation, but because Jesus himself is necessary for salvation.